35. But I do so now. Let it be known that I, Quan, world-bringer of Terris, am a fraud.
It felt like she was going to a ball again. The beautiful maroon gown would have fit in perfectly at one of the parties she had attended during the months before the collapse. The dress was untraditional, but not unfashionable. The changes simply made the dress seem distinctive. The alterations left her freer to move, let her walk more gracefully, turn more naturally. That, in turn, made her feel even more beautiful. Standing before her mirror, Vin thought of what it might have been like to wear the dress to a real ball. To be herself. Not Valette, the uncomfortable country noblewoman. Not even Vin, the ska thief. To be herself. Or at least as she could imagine herself. Confident because she accepted her place as a Mistborn. Confident because she accepted her place as the one who had struck down the Lord Ruler. Confident because she knew that the king loved her. Maybe I could be both, Vin thought, running her hands down the sides of the dress, feeling the soft satin.
You look beautiful, child, Tyndall said.
Vin turned, smiling hesitantly.
I don't have any jewelry. I gave the last of it to Ellen to help feed the refugees. It was the wrong color to go with this dress anyway.
Many women use jewelry to try and hide their own plainness, Tyndall said. You don't have that need.
The terrace woman stood with her usual posture, hands clasped before her, rings and earrings sparkling. None of her jewelry, however, had gemstones. In fact, most of it was made from simple materials, iron, copper, pewter, ferrochemical metals.
You haven't been in to see Ellen lately, Vin said, turning back to the mirror and using a few wooden barrettes to hold her hair back.
The king is quickly approaching the point where he no longer needs my instruction.
He's that close, then? Vin asked. To being like the men from your biographies?
Tyndall laughed.
Goodness no, child. He's quite far from that. But I said he would no longer need my instruction, Tyndall said. He is learning that he can rely only so much upon the words of others, and has reached the point where he will have to learn more for himself. You would be surprised, child, how much about being a good leader simply comes from experience.
He seems very different to me, Vin said quietly.
He is, Tyndall said, walking forward to lay a hand on Vin's shoulder. He is becoming the man that he always knew he would have to be. He just didn't know the path. Though I am hard on him, I think he would have found his way, even if I hadn't come. A man can only stumble for so long before he either falls or stands up straight.
Vin looked at her mirror self, pretty in its maroon dressings.
This is what I have become. For him.
For him, Tyndall agreed. And for yourself. This is where you were heading, before you got distracted.
Vin turned.
Are you going to come with us tonight?
Tyndall shook her head.
That is not my place. Now, go meet your king.
This time, Ellen did not intend to enter his enemy's lair without a proper escort. 200 soldiers stood in the courtyard, waiting to accompany him to Set's dinner, and Ham, fully armed, was playing personal bodyguard. Spook would act as Ellen's coachman. That only left Breeze, who, understandably, was a bit nervous about the idea of going to the dinner.
You don't have to come, Ellen told the portly man as they assembled in the venture courtyard.
I don't, Breeze said. Well then, I shall remain here. Enjoy the dinner.
Ellen paused, frowning. Ham clapped Ellen on the shoulder.
You should know better than to give that one any wiggle room, Ellen.
Well, I meant my words, Ellen said. We could really use a soother, but he doesn't have to come if he doesn't want to.
Breeze looked relieved.
You don't even feel a bit guilty, do you? Ham asked.
Guilty? Breeze asked, hand resting on his cane. My dear Hammond, have you ever known me to express such a dreary and uninspired emotion? Besides, I have a feeling Set will be more amiable without me around.
He's probably right, Elland thought as his coach pulled up.
Elland, Ham said, don't you think bringing 200 soldiers with us is, well, a little obvious?
Set is the one who said we should be honest with our threats, Elland said. Well, I'd say 200 men is on the conservative side of how well I trust the man. He'll still have us outnumbered 5-1.
But you'll have a Mistborn sitting a few seats from him, a soft voice said from behind.
Elland turned, smiling at Vin. How can you possibly move so quietly in a dress like that?
I've been practicing, she said, taking his arm.
Thing is, she probably has, he thought, inhaling her perfume, imagining Vin creeping through the palace hallways in a massive ball gown.
Well, we should get moving, Ham said.
He gestured for Vin and Elland to enter the carriage, and they left Breeze behind on the palace steps. After a year of passing Keep Hasting in the night, its windows darkened, it felt right to see them glowing again. You know, Elland said from beside her, we never did get to attend a ball together. Vin turned from her contemplation of the approaching keep. Around her, the carriage bounced along to the sound of several hundred tromping feet, the evening just beginning to grow dark. We met up several times at the balls, Elland continued, but we never officially attended one together. I never got the chance to pick you up in my carriage.
Is that really so important? Vin asked.
Elland shrugged. It's all part of the experience, or it was. There was a comfortable formality to it all. The gentleman arriving to accompany the lady, then everyone watching you enter and evaluating how you look together. I did it dozens of times with dozens of women, but never with the one that would have made the experience special. Vin smiled.
Do you think we'll ever have balls again?
I don't know, Vin. Even if we survive all of this. Well, could you dance while so many people starved? He was probably thinking about the hundreds of refugees, wearied from their travels, stripped of all food and equipment by Straff's soldiers, huddled together in the warehouse Elland had found for them.
You danced before, she thought. People starved then, too.
But that was a different time. Elland hadn't been king then. In fact, as she thought about it, he had never actually danced at those balls. He had studied and met with his friends, planning how he could make a better place out of the final empire.
There has to be a way to have both, Vin said. Maybe we could throw balls and ask the nobility who came to donate money to help feed the people.
Elland smiled. We'd probably spend twice as much on the party as we got in donations.
And the money we spent would go to Ska merchants.
Elland paused thoughtfully, and Vin smirked to herself.
Odd that I would end up with the only frugal nobleman in the city.
What a pair they were. A Mistborn who felt guilty wasting coins to jump, and a nobleman who thought balls were too expensive. It was a wonder that Doxin could pry enough money out of them to keep the city running. We'll worry about that later, Elland said as the Hastings gates opened, revealing a field of soldiers at attention.
You can bring your soldiers if you want, the display seemed to say. I've got more.
In reality, they were entering a strange allegory of Luthadel itself. Elland's 200 were now surrounded by Set's 1,000, which in turn were surrounded by Luthadel's 20,000. The city, of course, was then surrounded by nearly 100,000 troops on the outside. Layer upon layer of soldiers, all tensely waiting for a fight. Thoughts of balls and parties fled her mind. Set did not greet them at the door. That duty was performed by a soldier in a simple uniform. Your soldiers can remain here, the man said as they entered the main entryway. Once, the large, pillared room had been draped in fine rugs and wall hangings, but Elend had taken those to fund his government. Set, obviously, hadn't brought replacements, and that left the inside of the keep feeling austere, like a battlefront fortress, rather than a mansion. Elend turned, waving to Demu, and the captain ordered his men to wait indoors. Vin stood for a moment, consciously keeping herself from shooting a glare at Demu. If he was the Chandra, as her instincts warned, then it was dangerous to have him too close. Part of her itched to simply throw him into a dungeon. And yet a Chandra couldn't hurt humans, so he wasn't a direct threat. He was simply there to relay information. Plus, he'd already know their most sensitive secrets. There was little point in striking now, playing her hand so quickly. If she waited, saw where he went when he slipped out of the city, then maybe she could find out which army, or sect in the city, he was reporting to. Learn what information he had betrayed. And so she stayed her hand, waiting. The time to strike would come. Ham and Demu arranged their men, and then a smaller honor guard, including Ham, Spook, and Demu, gathered to stay with Vin and Elend. Elend nodded to Set's man, and the soldier led them down a side passageway. "We're not heading for the lifts," Vin thought. The Hasting Ballroom was at the very top of the keep's central tower. The times she had attended balls in the structure, she had been taken to the top on one of four human-drawn lifts. Either Hasting didn't want to waste the manpower, or... He picked the tallest keep in the city, Vin thought. The one with the fewest windows as well. If Set pulled all the lifts to the top, it would be very difficult for an invading force to claim the keep. Fortunately, it didn't appear that they would have to go all the way to the top this evening. After they climbed two flights in a twisting stone stairwell, Vin having to pull her dress in at the sides to keep from brushing against the stones, their guide led them out into a large circular room with stained glass windows running around the entire perimeter, broken only by columns to support the ceiling. The single room was nearly as wide around as the tower itself. A secondary ballroom, perhaps? Vin wondered, taking in the beauty. The glass wasn't lit, though she suspected that there were clefts for limelights on the outside. Set didn't appear to care about such things. He had set up a large table in the very center of the room and sat at its head. He was already eating.
"You're late," he called out to Elend. "So I started without you."
Elend frowned. To this, Set laughed a full bellow, holding up a drumstick.
"You seem more aghast at my breach of etiquette than you do about the fact that I brought an army to conquer you, boy. But I suppose that's Luthadel. Sit down before I eat this all myself."
Elend held out an arm for Vin, leading her to the table. Spook took up position near the stairwell, his tin eyes ears listening for danger. Ham led their 10 men to a position from which they could watch the only entrances to the room, the entry from the stairs and the door the serving staff used. Set ignored the soldiers. He had a group of his own bodyguards standing near the wall on the other side of the room, but he seemed unconcerned that Ham's troop had them slightly outnumbered. His son, the young man who had attended him at the assembly meeting, stood at his side, waiting quietly.
"One of the two has to be Mistborn," Vin thought, "and I still think it is Set."
Elend seated her, then took a chair next to her, both of them sitting directly across from Set. He barely paused in his eating as the servers brought Vin's and Ellen's dishes.
"Drumsticks," Vin thought, "and vegetables and gravy. He wants this to be a messy meal. He wants to make Elend uncomfortable."
Elend didn't start on his food immediately. He sat watching Set, his expression thoughtful.
"Damn," Set said, "this is good food. You have no idea how hard it is to get proper meals when traveling."
"Why did you want to speak with me?" Elend asked. "You know I won't be convinced to vote for you."
Set shrugged.
"I thought it might be interesting."
"Is this about your daughter?" Elend asked.
"Lord Ruler, no," Set said with a laugh. "Keep the silly thing if you want. The day she ran off was one of the few joys I've had this last month.
And if I threaten to harm her? Elland asked.
You won't, Set said.
You're certain? Set smiled through his thick beard, leaning toward Elland.
I know you, Venture. I've been watching you, studying you for months. And then you were kind enough to send one of your friends to spy on me. I learned a lot about you from him.
Elland looked troubled. Set laughed.
Honestly, you didn't think I'd recognize one of the survivor's own crew members? You Luthadel noblemen must assume that everyone outside the city is a damn fool.
And yet you listened to Breeze, Elland said.
You let him join you, listened to his advice. And then you only chased him away when you found him being intimate with your daughter, the one you claimed to have no affection for. Is that why he told you he left the camp? Set asked, laughing. Because I caught him with Alrianne? Goodness, what do I care if the girl seduced him?
You think she seduced him? Vin asked.
Of course, Set said. Honestly, I only spent a few weeks with him, and even I know how useless he is with women.
Elland was taking all this in stride. He watched Set with narrow, discerning eyes. So why did you chase him away? Set leaned back.
I tried to turn him. He refused. I figured killing him would be preferable to letting him return to you. But he's remarkably agile for a man his size.
If Set really is Mistborn, there's no way Breeze got away without Set letting him, Vin thought.
So you see, Venture, Set said, I know you. I know you better, perhaps, than you know yourself. For I know what your friends think of you. It takes a pretty extraordinary man to earn the loyalty of a weasel like Breeze.
So you think I won't harm your daughter, Elland said.
I know you won't, Set said. You're honest. I happen to like that about you. Unfortunately, honesty is very easy to exploit. I knew, for instance, that you'd admit Breeze was soothing that crowd.
Set shook his head.
Honest men weren't meant to be kings, lad. It's a damn shame, but it's true. That's why I have to take the throne from you.
Elland was silent for a moment. Finally, he looked to Vin. She took his plate, sniffing it with an allomancer's senses. Set laughed.
Think I'd poison you?
No, actually, Elland said as Vin set the plate down. She wasn't as good as some, but she'd learned the obvious sense. You wouldn't use poison, Elland said. That isn't your way. You seem to be a rather honest man yourself.
I'm just blunt, Set said. There's a difference.
I haven't heard you tell a lie yet.
That's because you don't know me well enough to discern the lies, Set said.
He held up several grease-stained fingers.
I've already told you 3 lies tonight, lad. Good luck guessing which ones they were.
Elland paused, studying Set. You're playing with me.
Of course I am, Set said. Don't you see, boy? This is why you shouldn't be king. Leave the job to men who understand their own corruption. Don't let it destroy you.
Why do you care? Elland asked.
Because I'd rather not kill you, Set said.
Then don't. Set shook his head.
That isn't how all this works, lad. If there's an opportunity to stabilize your power or to get more power, you'd damned well better take it. And I will.
The table fell silent again. Set eyed Vin.
No comments from the Mistborn?
You swear a lot, Vin said. You're not supposed to do that in front of ladies. Set laughed.
That's the funny thing about Luthadel, lass. They're all so concerned about doing what is proper when people can see them. But at the same time, they find nothing wrong with going and raping a couple of Ska women when the party is through. At least I swear to your face.
Elland still hadn't touched his food.
What will happen if you win the vote for the throne?
Set shrugged.
Honest answer?
Always.
First thing, I'd have you assassinated, Set said. Can't have old kings sticking around.
And if I step down, Ellen said, withdraw from the vote?
Step down, Set said, vote for me and then leave town and I'll let you live.
And the assembly? Ellen asked.
Dissolved, Set said. They're a liability. Anytime you give a committee power, you just end up with confusion.
The assembly gives the people power, Ellen said. That's what a government should provide. Surprisingly, Set didn't laugh at that comment. Instead, he leaned in again, setting one arm on the table, discarding a half-eaten drumstick.
That's the thing, boy. Letting the people rule themselves is fine when everything is bright and happy. But what about when you have two armies facing you? What about when there's a band of insane kolos destroying villages on your frontier? Those aren't the times when you can afford to have an assembly around to depose you.
Set shook his head.
The price is too high. When you can't have both freedom and safety, boy, which do you choose?
Ellen was silent. I make my own choice, he finally said, and I leave the others to make their own as well. Set smiled as if he'd expected such a reply. He started in on another drumstick.
Let's say I leave, Ellen said, and let's say you do get the throne, protect the city and dissolve the assembly. What then? What are the people?
What do you care?
You need ask, Ellen said. I thought you understood me.
Set smiled.
I put the ska back to work in the way the Lord Ruler did. No pay, no emancipated peasant class.
I can't accept that, Ellen said.
Why not? Set said. It's what they want. You gave them a choice, and they chose to throw you out. Now they're going to choose to put me on the throne. They know that the Lord Ruler's way was the best. One group must rule and another must serve. Someone has to grow the food and work the forges, boy.
Perhaps, Ellen said. But you're wrong about one thing.
And what is that?
They're not going to vote for you, Ellen said, standing. They're going to choose me. Faced with the choice between freedom and slavery, they will choose freedom. The men of the assembly are the finest of this city, and they will make the best choice for its people.
Set paused, then he laughed.
The best thing about you, lad, is that you can say that and sound serious.
I'm leaving, Set, Ellen said, nodding to Vin.
Oh, sit down, Venture, Set said, waving toward Ellen's chair. Don't act indignant because I'm being honest with you. We still have things to discuss.
Such as? Ellen asked.
Atium, Set said.
Ellen stood for a moment, apparently forcing down his annoyance. When Set didn't speak immediately, Ellen finally sat and began to eat. Vin just picked quietly at her food. As she did, however, she studied the faces of Set's soldiers and servants. There were bound to be allomancers mixed among them. Finding out how many could give Ellen an advantage.
Your people are starving, Set said. And if my spies are worth their coin, you just got another influx of mouths. You can't last much longer under this siege.
And? Ellen asked.
I have food, Set said. A lot of it. More than my army needs. Canned goods, packed with the new method the Lord Ruler developed. Long-lasting, no spoilage. Really a marvel of technology. I'd be willing to trade you some of them.
Ellen paused, fork halfway to his mouth. Then he lowered it and laughed.
You still think I have the Lord Ruler's atium? Of course you have it, Set said, frowning. Where else would it be?
Ellen shook his head, taking a bite of gravy-drenched potato.
Not here, for certain.
But rumors, Set said. Breeze spread those rumors, Ellen said. I thought you'd figured out why he joined your group. He wanted you to come to Luthadel so that you'd stop Straff from taking the city. But Breeze did everything he could to keep me from coming here, Set said. He downplayed the rumors. He tried to distract me. He... Set trailed off, then bellowed a laugh. I thought he was just there to spy. It seems we both underestimated each other.
My people could still use that food, Ellen said.
And they'll have it, assuming I become king.
They're starving now, Ellen said.
And their suffering will be your burden, Set said, his face growing hard. I can see that you have judged me, Ellen Venture. You think me a good man. You're wrong. Honesty does not make a man less of a tyrant. I slaughtered thousands to secure my rule. I put burdens on the Ska that make even the Lord Ruler's hand seem pleasant. I made certain that I stayed in power. I will do the same here.
The men fell silent. Ellen ate, but Vin only mixed her food around. If she had missed a poison, she wanted one of them to remain alert. She still wanted to find those allomancers, and there was only one way to be certain. She turned off her copper, then burned bronze. There was no copper cloud burning. Set apparently didn't care if someone recognized his men as allomancers. Two of his men were burning pewter. Neither, however, were soldiers. Both were pretending to be members of the serving staff who were bringing meals. There was also a tin eye pulsing in the other room, listening. Why hide thugs as servants, then use no copper to hide their pulses? In addition, there were no soothers or rioters. Nobody was trying to influence Ellen's emotions. Neither Set nor his youthful attendant were burning any metals. Either they weren't actually allomancers, or they feared exposing themselves. Just to be certain, Vin flared her bronze, seeking to pierce any hidden copper clouds that might be nearby. She could see Set putting out some obvious allomancers as a distraction, then hiding the others inside a cloud. She found nothing. Finally satisfied, she returned to picking at her meal.
How many times has this ability of mine, the ability to pierce copper clouds, proven useful?
She'd forgotten what it was like to be blocked from sensing allomantic pulses. This one little ability, simple though it seemed, provided an enormous advantage. And the Lord Ruler and his Inquisitors had probably been able to do it from the beginning. What other tricks was she missing? What other secrets had died with the Lord Ruler?
He knew the truth about the deepness, Vin thought. He must have. He tried to warn us at the end.
Ellen and Set were talking again. Why couldn't she focus on the problems of the city?
So you don't have any ATM at all? Set said.
None that we're willing to sell, Ellen said.
You've searched the city, Set asked. 12 times. Statues, Set said. Perhaps the Lord Ruler hid the metal by melting it down, then building things out of it.
Ellen shook his head. We thought of that. The statues aren't ATM, and they aren't hollow either. That would have been a good place to hide metal from Allomancer eyes. We thought maybe that it would be hidden in the palace somewhere, but even the spires are simple iron.
Caves, tunnels?
None that we can find, Ellen said. We've had Allomancers patrol, searching for large sources of metals. We've done everything we can think of, Set, short of tearing holes in the ground. Trust me, we've been working on this problem for a while. Set nodded, sighing.
So I suppose holding you for ransom would be pointless.
Ellen smiled.
I'm not even king, Set.
The only thing you'd do is make the assembly less likely to vote for you. Set laughed.
Suppose I'll have to let you go, then.